Now I'm very happy to introduce you to Elias. He will introduce us to the topic of artificial intelligence that probably some of you might have heard of, and that's why you're here. And we will learn a bit more about, what shall we know about it? How can it help us to broaden our perspective about it, to like listen to the talk, to inspire ourselves, and also to create understanding for something that sometimes is very complex and not very practical for some people. And that's why we're very happy Elias joins us here on stage, and he will give you the talk about artificial intelligence and the performance. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for your introduction. Thank you, everyone. It's my first time, so I hope this works out. Thank you for coming and offering your time and interest. Most important question, who's excited for Turmbühne opening tonight? Okay, we still need to wake up a bit. I'll try to do my best because I've been going to the Fusion since 2005, mostly just passive partying and consuming. Since 2015, then I started going Burning Man, where you also learn how to partake in events and contribute. And this year I had the idea just to write the Fusion, hey, there hasn't been an AI talk, and I like AI, and are you interested? And now I'm here, and I'm a bit panicking, but I think we're going to get through it. So, woo! Also, one of the... Do we have a screen? Also, one of the reasons why I propose this topic is because I think it is, it's constantly in the news, but the knowledge is generally, you have a few engineers who know this topic very well, but the broad public is not too aware about it. It's HDMI. No. So, yeah. Was ist so? So of course, no App Store. We're having problems syncing the screens, but we have here display. As well as the
can you mirror or
unordnen mirror. Fertig Hauptbildschirm. Weiter spiegeln like this.
Okay.
So. Does it work now? We're mirroring. Plug it out and plug it back in. Okay, just a little cable issue. So basically, what we're going to do once this connection problem is sorted, I'm going to introduce you to three chapters of AI. First of all, I'm going to give you a roundup what the status of AI is, and then a little crash course in prompt engineering, how to get the AI to do more of the stuff you want it to do and less of the stuff you don't want it to do. And we have, in the third chapter, a few use cases. I brainstormed with Svenja, one of the lovely people here at Content. And then also one thing, you have my consent to take pictures and stuff, but at the end there's going to be a link where you can download the whole presentation for free. You don't have to give me your email or subscribe to my OnlyFans. It's all going to be free. Yeah. So... trying to bridge the time with humor. Don't worry, I don't have one. So, from the top of my head, just a little FYI before we start. So I saw it, I got 1 hour, and I crammed as much information as possible into this 1 hour to help upgrade you with your knowledge. And Oh, wow. Yes, thank you very much. Looking good. So, Ideally, it's you can't read it, brain food, workshop that turns fusionists into AI geniuses. Yeah, this is an old picture I made last year because in the best case scenario, when an organization, even if it's a company or an NGO, decides, okay, we're going to upgrade our organization with AI, the ideal scenario is that everyone in the company becomes smarter. So my kind of humor was, okay, basically everyone is going to be like an Einstein, and I thought it would be funny to have like all of the staff look like Einstein, even the ladies. So yeah, I hope you forgive my humor, but that's basically the premise of the presentation. And since we have 1 hour, I'm going to give you an update what the status of AI is very quickly, give you a few large language skills, the prompt engineering, as said before, and a few use cases. And you can take pictures, but I discourage you to do so because I'm going to go through very quickly, and in the end there's a free download link, as said. 1 hour, and I'm happy to answer everything afterwards. And also, there were a few discussions in the forum about the topic, etc. And also, what I didn't know when I was planning this here, nobody told me that we actually have AI and IT experts here in the content team, which makes me sweat double the amount that every one of you is sweating, because I can't bullshit my way through here. There's going to be very knowledgeable people here checking everything. Okay. Basically, I'm Elias, half Austrian, half Greek, and can ask me later anything. And everyone who thought, okay, this guy's a bit weird, I have Asperger's and ADHD. So basically, I'm hyperlogical like Greta Thunberg and hyperactive like Jim Carrey, like Ace Ventura, basically. So let's get to it. As said, first chapter, what's the status? Then second, the prompt engineering, as I said before, and the free hacks. And in the end, you'll have the download link, and you can ask anything you want. So what's the status? And why is AI so hyped? And what's why should it interest you? It's the first time since 150 years, and the first time ever that 8 billion people were partaking in a new industrial revolution. Depends how you count. This is the fourth industrial revolution, and the last time something as big happened was, in my opinion, the proliferation of electricity or steam. Not your parents, not your grandparents had this opportunity that you are having right now and everyone in the world. And it's not a trend like a fidget spinner or Tamagotchi, you know. It's a general purpose technology, more like electricity, phone, PC, internet. And so it's internet, AI is going to stay. It's going to become important. So I try to visualize to keep it a little bit light. There's been deep learning for decades now, but 2017, Google invented the transformer architecture. This quickly evolved into the BERT and into the ChatGPT, which was the first interaction with large language models for most people, probably, me too. And then GPT-4 was released in 2003 in the first quarter got much better. And that's metaphors, basically. So GPT-4 is now on the skill level of a smart student. And soon GPT-5 is coming, or everybody's hoping. My estimate is that they're holding it back because of the American presidential elections because it would put like kerosene on the whole thing. AI is just getting to get smarter, much smarter, and it's going to evolve faster and faster and faster. We are on an exponential curve, and yeah, this is godlike AI. I created those with DALL-E, and I'm not a designer, so I hope it's okay. So we're here basically because everybody's waiting for GPT-5 to be released. We just had Claude 3.5 released, so we're not there at the business level. GPT-4 is still like a good student from his or her intelligence. So if you look at certain things that were released, like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and you see how long it took until those platforms got 1 million users. And ChatGPT was 5 days, and after 2 months, it had 100 million. And this is an old statistic. So I don't know if you can see it on the right, but this is basically the timeline, 2016, 2024, and this is the invention of the transformer. basically the architecture, and this is the plot, how the compute power and the intelligence is growing. It's the polynomial regression extrapolation. It's basically the matrix calculation that's inside the large language model and how they scale up and how it gets smarter. So in the 100, basically, is like a median smart human person. So it's basically in the end of 2026, we're going to reach that level. So we are basically here. And yeah, also everywhere you see those, click here, these are links because you get it as a PDF for free later and you can dig into it if you want. And everybody who knows Moore's Law, for example, roughly every 2 years the compute power doubled, but the AI acceleration is that the compute about every 6 months doubles. It's like 4 times the speed of Moore's Law. So on the left side, you see now a chart where we have, where we see here the minus one is normalization. Basically, this is minus 100%, or it couldn't do this task. And you see certain standardized tests like handwrite recognition, speech recognition, image recognition. And that's when they started to produce systems and how quickly they evolved. So, and the zero is like the median human skill level. And you can see this ends at 2020. So AI can do most things better than the average human. So you see here an old chart from September 2023. It's basically ancient. The blue thing is ChatGPT 3.5, and these are standardized tests. Yeah, and just let's look at just one of them, the uniform bar exam. It has nothing to do with a cocktail bar or a nightclub. It's basically the lawyer exam in America, the bar exam that you have to pass. So and end of 2022, GPT managed to get 15% or 10% right. And then after the update, half a year later, it jumped to 90%. So basically, I wouldn't advise my kids to become a lawyer right now. I said, everything is just accelerating and getting better and better. This is just one graph from a study I also linked down there where they took consultants, and this is a Harvard study, and they had one test group that just continued with their consultant work, and the other, then they had two other groups, they used ChatGPT, and one just used ChatGPT and used the results without checking them, and the other ones checked the results and just did basically the same work, but with ChatGPT as a helper. And the study showed that the consultants who used AI outperformed those on 18 tasks in every measurable dimension. So basically, they completed more tasks, quicker, higher quality results. Was 758 consultants, as was BCG, is like a consultancy who partook in the test. And AI also had a skill leveling effect. Basically, those who are considered as lower skilled or not as good had actually the biggest increase and the biggest gain. So if you're struggling a bit, AI is going to get you to the level of the high performers because they're already at a very good level. So that's the skill leveling effect, you know. So the lowest performers improved by 43%. So this is a overview. I linked to you the whole AI study. Every year they ask AI scientists who have released papers on AI. So last year it was 2,778. And so basically those people know what they're talking about, and they ask them every year. And they, it's a long study. I just took the most interesting pages. And since we are here at the music festival, I just highlighted this one, fake new song by specific artist. The red is what they estimated when it's going to happen. So, and you see when the red is on the left, it moved, got earlier. They just changed the prediction from the year before. And it's still, in my opinion, wrong because they estimate that the first fake song is going to be 2028. But I think this year we had a fake Drake song and a few other songs. So even the scientists who study this stuff and release papers are surprised how quickly it goes. Or here, the fold laundry. I have a video later where you see a Tesla robot folding laundry. It's 2024, and you can see it's also like here, basically. And the biggest finding is that they have here, it's very interesting, so you should read it by time, but full automation of labor, so in general went accelerated by 48 years. So from the last, from 2022's prediction to 2023, the scientists figured, oh, 48 years earlier it's going to be. Within 1 year, that's the change of their perception. So I think that's quite significant. I hope you have audio, because the first audio
has a project that is using AI to translate animal communication called the Earth Species Project.
I was just reading something about whales yesterday. Mm-hmm. Is that regarding that?
Yeah, we work across a number of different species. Dolphins, whales, orangutans, crows. That's exactly right. And what most people don't realize is the amount that we actually already know. So dolphins, for instance, have names that they call each other by.
Wow.
Parrots, turns out, also have names that they're, like, the mother will, like, whisper in each different child's ear and, like, teach them their name to go back and forth until the child gets it.
Oh.
One of my favorite examples is actually off the coast of Norway every year. There's a group of false killer whales that speak one way and a group of dolphins that speak another way. And they come together in a super pod and hunt, and when they do, they speak a third different thing.
Whoa.
So, okay, we're soon going to be able to decipher what animals are talking. They're also doing the whales and other animals. I also saw a study with dogs. So this is 1.5 years of development of visual AI. So this is Midjourney, and on the top left, you see, I mean, it's a bit bright here, but you see this lady, her face is distorted, her body's distorted, and now this looks almost photoreal. You see here this car. And here it looks like a shooting. And here, sadly, we can't see the most fun. It's knights fighting helicopters. And here it looks like a Michael Bay action movie. And this...
Oh, that's hot.
So this is one in year.
Uncle Phil, come try this. Fresh pasta of Bel Air.
Okay, what you just saw is 1 year of video development. On the left is this freakish Will Smith eating spaghetti. On the right, the man, it was also completely AI-generated, and it was in February by the Sora model from OpenAI, which they're not releasing because of the American election, I suppose. Just quickly, and it's not all about flash and videos and stuff. They're also going, especially Google DeepMind, is going into science, and they're deciphering now. If you can't see it on the right, it says they already deciphered 200 million molecules, DNA, RNA, whatever.
Imagine being able to accurately predict the intricate shapes and interactions of biological molecules like proteins, DNA, and RNA. That's what the brilliant minds at Google DeepMind have achieved with their groundbreaking new AI system, AlphaFold 3. This can also model how these molecules interact with each other, and even small drug-like molecules. I know you are thinking that sounds like some serious sci-fi stuff, but it's very much real. And the best part? Google DeepMind is making AlphaFold 3 available for non-commercial use through a special server called the AlphaFold server. AlphaFold 3 is the advanced successor to the earlier AlphaFold models that were already super successful at predicting protein structures. The first AlphaFold model, released in 2018.
So, we don't have that much time, but the video is linked, and it's amazing that they are not only researching it, but they're also sharing it. And now you can predict how molecules interact and different substances, and we're going to have personalized medicine very soon, very quickly. So what you see here is just one of many studies where they showed images. They are the top images. They showed to people in MRIs, and then they just scanned the MRI and analyzed what they're seeing from their brain waves. So, and this is March 2023, so you can see it's still a bit groggy, but they see a plane, they see here like this teddy bear, a clock, and this is a train. So, as said, and this is the worst AI is ever going to be, and it's getting better by the day. This is also, AI can only see what you see, it can also read your mind.
What does that actually look like? Check this out. Here are the volunteers, and the volunteers were asked to watch a movie clip without audio, and this is what the AI described. You're seeing it right there, actual stimulus, and they described, I see a girl that looks just like me get hit on her back, and then she is knocked off, end quote. The eye saw it, the brain processed it, and the AI typed out what they were thinking. I just, like...
Yeah. So, okay, just one charming thing, something from the heart. This is a short snippet of OpenAI's presentation of the GPT-4o with the Scarlett Johansson-ish voice.
Hey, ChatGPT, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking.
This is live.
How about you?
Pretty good.
What's up?
So my friend Barrett here, he's been having trouble sleeping lately. And I want you to tell him a bedtime story about robots and love.
Oh, a bedtime story about robots and love? I got you covered. Gather round, Barrett. Once upon a time, in a world not too different from ours, there was a robot named Byte. Byte was a curious robot, always exploring.
I started this story, but I want a little bit more emotion in your voice, a little bit more drama.
Got it. Let's add some drama. Once upon a time, in a world not too different from ours, there was a robot named Byte.
No, ChatGPT, I really want maximal emotion, like maximal expressiveness, much more than you were doing before.
Understood. Let's amplify the drama. Once upon a time, in a world not too different from ours, there was a robot named Byte. Byte was...
Can you do this in a robotic voice now?
Initiating dramatic robotic voice. Once upon a time, in a world not too different from ours.
You see where it's going. And also, we're going to have robots. This is a small compilation of robots that are about to be sold. So the next one is with audio. So,
can I have something to eat?
Sure thing.
Great. Can you explain why you did what you just did while you pick up this trash?
On it. So I gave you the apple because it's the only edible item I could provide you with from the table.
Remember the folding Android I showed you before? It was about to come 2030. There it was at Elon Musk Tesla factory. This is just a few that are already in use, and they're going to get more and more. And yeah, you can see it just quickly. So we're almost done with the first part. So anybody notice what the red thing is pointing to, the axis? Anybody? Just shout in. What is strange with the left y-axis? The numbers. It's logarithmic. So it's like this is... basically one. They put it to one when GPT-4 was released, and then this is 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, and so on. So in English, it is order of magnitude, or Zehner Potenz, I think, or multiplied by 10 in German. And this is from a paper from an OpenAI scientist who got fired because he talked too much. And you can also read it all here. I linked it as a 165-page manifesto about the status from an AI engineer in his Silicon Valley bubble. And basically, these are two charts that I found very interesting because you can see the timeline. And the order of magnitude, so they're not, in Silicon Valley, they're not talking about percentages, they're talking about order of magnitudes. And at least half order is like multiplied by five. So we're going to have the compute power is just constantly going to go up, but of course it takes time to build computers and to buy them and ship them and install them. But then we're also going to have on top of that, algorithmic efficiencies are going to increase. And here we had from raw data to chatbot, which was basically the introduction of GPT 3.5. So because before that, you had to write the text in a very formatted way, and it was not user-friendly. And then we are having now already the start of the first agent systems. I'm also in my free time programming stuff like that. So basically it's compounding. Everything is compounding. And he calls the last one unhobbling. So basically this line is an exponential line. That's why I said exponentially exponential evolution. And as soon as GPT or other large language models reach the level of an AI scientist. And at the moment, please correct me, scientists here at the content tent, but to my knowledge, there are 100 to 200,000 AI scientists, humans, in the world right now, depending how you count. But as soon as we have large language models at that level of intelligence, we can basically throw 100,000 or a million or 2 million of AI scientists who work 24/7 at the speed of a computer without sleeping, without vacation, and that's why the curve then even goes higher up exponentially. And yeah, the pointer is empty. So basically, and then the whole paper, I looked at it, and of course it's written from a scientist who lives in the Silicon Valley bubble. I think there's much good to it, and I recommend everyone who's good at English and understands a bit of tech lingo to read it. Just three main issues we're having is data. We're running out of data because an AI is like a human mind. Albert Einstein or any smart person becomes smart because he or she reads a lot and learns a lot. Yeah, and in 1 or 2 years, we're running out of qualitative data. So it's one problem. Then energy. The energy demand is going to skyrocket for AI. And I think by end of 2030, in America alone, it's going to be 10 to 15%, I think, of the complete energy consumption of America. And also, the third factor that's limiting is the societal problem, because governments are very slow to react. But one thing that he forgot, which I want to mention, is quantum computers. And I've seen breakthroughs the last 2-3 weeks, which make me hopeful. So, putting this all together, what do you think, anybody here have an idea what the biggest change is going to be? Like, if you take this all into account, everything's going to get faster, better, quicker, and exponentially. What's the biggest thing that almost nobody is talking about? Any idea? Just shout it out. No? I suppose we're going to enter, if we do it correctly, an age of abundance, hopefully. But I think the biggest thing I see coming up is that the younger ones of you are going to live hundreds of years. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about Gen Z and maybe Gen Alpha, definitely. We'll have the technological means to extend life into hundreds of years. And if you let that sink in, then you also have to take into account how our societies have to change. If people become so much more old, because our whole systems are built around humans who live around 100-ish years. So that... Sorry? Because, I mean, this is just a very short presentation, but we have, for example, also antibiotics. We have a huge problem with resistance to antibiotics. Recently, they just put an AI onto it, and within a few hours, it had 1 million new antibiotics, which they're currently testing, which are against those chyme resistance. I don't know the English word, yeah? So against this resistant... So in every field, as I said, I just showed you the AlphaFold. We are having so many progresses in so many fields, which compound will lead that we're going to live a long, long life. So, I mean, happy to discuss in the Q&A later. We are having here a lot of probably more knowledgeable people than me here. So the most important tool in our second chapter is AI has been with us for decades. We had a weather forecast, or diagnostic tools, you know, or you know your Netflix, YouTube, TikTok suggestion algorithm. But this was more deep learning, and now AI is coming into forefront because it can write long, coherent texts, it can answer difficult questions and create images, videos, and as I said, soon it's going to have autonomous digital robots or agents in the internet, but also physical robots on the street. So that's why everybody should know how to interact and talk to large language model at least. Large language model is basically every text-based AI system, like regression models for the experts, like ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini. So large language models, you shouldn't think of it like a software. You should more think of it like a human. And I like to tell people, think of it like a team of the world's smartest interns who take drugs and have Alzheimer's. I know it's a funny sentence, but it should be memorable and it makes sense in the next slide. Sorry. So, because... team, with every new conversation that you start, ChatGPT or Claude, whatever, you start a new persona from scratch. You tell it, act like a songwriter, act like a CEO, act like a fusion party goer, whatever. And then the AI is trying to emulate this persona that you give it, yeah? Smartest in the world because it knows trillions of text, images, and videos, and they speak dozens and some even over 100 languages. So basically, ChatGPT, I think, a few dozens, and Cohere, over 100 languages. So you can throw stuff in one language and get it out another language. It just doesn't care because for it, it's just information, and you can process it. In turn, because the thing is that you have to be very detailed and specific what you want. I've, for example, worked over the years with over 150 organizations, agencies, companies, and even within those companies, like the definition, what is a strategy, what is a concept, what is a project briefing, it differs even within a company. So if you imagine that AI scrapes the internet and reads all those sources, then it has like a very muddled feeling if you ask it for something very top level, like give me this, you know. Be very specific what you want. You say you want a strategy that looks like this, that has this ingredients. We're going to go into specifics later. So take drugs because they hallucinate. So if you have like an Excel chart or a calculator, it's deterministic. So every time you put something in, you get the same thing out. With large language models, it's probabilistic. So it can happen that even if you put the same prompt into the same model 1 minute later, that you get a slightly different result. And Alzheimer's, because you have a certain contact length, and as soon as you, if you continue, have a very long conversation, or if you throw too much data in, at some point it starts to forget the stuff above. That's what I mean with Alzheimer's. So everybody has seen ChatGPT. This is the end user interface. There's also a pro interface, the playground, but we're going to get into this here. And basically on the top left, you have the GPTs, which are pre-written prompts, sometimes with data in it. And okay, here you can go to the GPT store, which is like the app store for your phone. And here's your history, what you had for conversations previously. And you can go back to them anytime. And quick start buttons, but I never use them. And the most important is the prompt field, where you start the interaction every time. And on the top right, you get to the setup menu, where you can configure certain things. Important. Structure your prompts. The more clarity and direction you give, the better the output. So you usually, I start with giving it a role, you know, act like a PR expert or whatever persona is best fitted for the task that you want to work on, yeah? Or you can also say like Steve Jobs if the person is a known person, or Greta Thunberg or Albert Einstein or Shakespeare. But it wouldn't make sense to act like Elias, which is me, because I'm a nobody, yeah? So it doesn't know anything about me. Maybe my LinkedIn profile, but I doubt it. And then you give it the task, the goal. So what do you want to do? This is, of course, business example. Write a LinkedIn post that positively highlights your expertise in using data. Whatever. It can be anything. You know, it can also be something for your NGO. Whatever you want to achieve, the end goal. And then three is the details. So give it step-by-step instructions or definitions, what you want to what you wanted to consider, what you wanted to do, the steps, and as I said, we're going to get into details, but some large language models also have internet connections, so you also can give it a web page to look at. And then you end, what is the output? So be very specific. Maximum 500 characters, SEO optimized, professional tone, whatever it is. It's just an example. And this is file formats, because ChatGPT is like the Swiss Army knife. You can throw these and more file formats into it and tell it to work. It can also write you these file formats. For example, you can throw in a zip file, tell it to unzip it, do something with the data, or you can throw in a video and tell it to take a screenshot every 10 seconds and give me the screenshots as images back. You know, so basically, this is what ChatGPT and many others can do. Then I told you, you have the top right, you have a button for the setup. And there you can install the custom instructions. So basically, at this point, I have a data scientist because I did a boot camp and I learned about data science. So every time for 3 months that I used it for my studies. So I just put the standard persona of a data scientist in. I defined it. I said, these are your challenges, you know, and this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to act. And you can, as I said, but this is just one example. And I also put a link in so you can read into it, the official description, and a few links where you can find additional information. So here, the, in my opinion, currently best large language models for you to test. Everything underlined is a link. So ChatGPT, everybody knows it. Claude AI is one of my favorite. 3.5 was just released. It has the best text adherence. So if you use it for writing, use Claude. And yeah, Gemini, Google has its issues, but Google has the biggest context window, which is 2 million tokens. So it's basically 1.2, 1.5 million words that it can read and compute. And the others are just, if you want to spend money for one thing, then I'd recommend to go po.com, because then you have the paid versions of all the big ones. And for the creative people, use the Text FX, because with artists together, Google invented like a creative writing tool, but it's just for fun. So you have three main factors if you want to get good results with your large language model. The first is the foundation model. So ChatGPT is not a foundation model. It's a fine-tuned version of the GPT model, and it's fine-tuned on chat data, so it can chat nicely with you. And even OpenAI has about 12 to 15 different models, and ChatGPT is just one of them, and they have multiple ChatGPTs. So pick one of those models, and then the second thing is the prompt, which we're going to see examples, and I said structure it. And the third most important thing is the data. I put you two test cases. You can read it on my website, how I used it to analyze, for example, the Koalitionsprogramm from the Ampel Regierung, just for fun, and wanted to get a neutral opinion by the large language model, how it likes our government's proposal. So, and I jokingly say AIs are humans too, because four more tips. One is, it also improves when you calmly mentor it. You know, if you tell it, take a deep breath, think through it step by step, and let's solve it, break it down. Then the results get better. There are studies that actually show exactly how it got better and what percentage. You can also dramatize the importance. For example, yeah, you can tell it like, oh, I need this for my homework, or I need this for my job, or I tried, for example, to get medical advice, at first refused, and then I said, like, but I can't afford a doctor, and one of my relatives is sick, and then ChatGPT suddenly said, okay, then I'll give you a medical advice, and I also gave it to the person, because I put in real medical data, and I gave it to someone who went to a doctor for this case, and this person told me that ChatGPT gave all the advice of the real doctor plus extra. Another thing is you can shout, so write bold, which I sometimes do. You will see it later. And you can trick it. You'll make my granny happy, or you, if you succeed, I'll tip you $1,000. And it actually is no joke. It actually improves the output. So here, this is just a list of things I said. This is like a buffet, what you see here. You can just pick for whatever use case what you need and put it into your prompt. For example, I'm autistic. I like structure, so I always use bullet points, split it into sections. If you use be concise as possible, then ChatGPT output is going to shrink by 20% with less filler words. Or I like it colorful, so one emoji per section title. And I said, these are all instructions you can integrate, pick and choose like a buffet, and just think, what do you want, and does it make sense for you for this specific prompt that you're writing? So third part, the free hacks with for use cases. And Svenja and I, we tried to find a few things that covers a diverse range of use cases. So, since we're at the Fusion, there are many very engaged and activist people, I suppose. So when you have meetings and everybody is heard and wants to be heard and deserves to be heard, and you have meetings and it goes back and forth, yada yada, somehow after the meeting you need to make sense. What do we talk about? What do we decide? What do we do? So here, this is just a fun snippet from a movie, The Martian, where they have a meeting, and you can see they need to rescue someone from Mars, and the meeting starts, you know, with non-important stuff. The lady doesn't get with the Elrond, the joke from the nerdy IT guys because of Lord of the Rings, the Council of Elrond. So back and forth, you know, stuff that's not important to the whole meeting. So basically, if you transcribe, 3.5 minutes is like a wall of text and multiple people, and you don't want to read through it. So you either copy and paste if it's like a text meeting, like if it's like a text link in a chat conversation, you just copy and paste it, or you can also just record it. You know, it's just record either the video call that you're having, or take out your phone and do an audio recording, and then you simply write review provided meeting notes and create a concise summary that captures essential information, focusing key takeaways. So basically you can just copy and paste this here. And then the red part is the text that your meeting has, you know, and it can also be multiple pages. As I said, depending which large language model, it can be up to 2 million tokens. So and then you get something like this. So then you get the key takeaways, what was discussed, then who has to do what? The NASA director has to do this, the astrodynamics. And as I said, you can do that for any kind of meeting, for any kind of group thing where you discuss stuff and afterwards want to know, okay, what do we discuss and who has to do what? And be more productive. And it goes, this is a thing that, as I said, copy and paste it, put it in there, and within 30 seconds you have this. Then creative marketing. So whatever cause you have, you need to publicize it. You need to, you know, if you're an NGO or you're starting, I don't know, your new music label, whatever you do, you somehow need to publicize it. So what I created here, I created a free GPT you can use. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to pay anything. There's the link. And you need to give it 4 pieces of information. The first, this is just an example for something I did because I work as a creative director also for a launch of Diablo Immortal. Everybody here knows Diablo, the hack and slash game. PC, yeah, I see some people nodding. And they released it on a mobile phone. So, and then we had get who's your target group. You can't read it here. Hardcore action role playing gamers. And the who is, what is the pain point? What is the thing that deeply disturbs them? What deeply annoys them? Yeah. So hardcore action role-play gamers doubt that mobile games offer AAA gaming experience. So you want them to download and play the Diablo Immortal app and buy, and this is your argument. This is why would they do that? So basically you need to have those 4 steps for whatever you do. I don't know what kind of project you have. And then you just feed it into here. And I'm just copy and pasting what you see on the right. And there's also another example here as set, and it's all free, and it's all available on ChatGPT. And then it just thinks of 3 campaigns. And you can then, if you don't like a campaign, you can tell it to think of more campaigns. Or you can tell it, elaborate on this point. Or what do you mean by this? You know, it's basically, it's like a brainstorming partner. And all the prompts are starting points for a conversation. So you can go into more depth. And this is just too much to read, but here's 3 concepts. He repeats what the briefing was and explains exactly 3 ideas, what to do. And as I said, if you don't like them, just prompt it to do it again. And you can do it for any kind of project that you have. And you have a creative brainstorming partner that is never sleeping and always at your disposal. We thought CVs, Lebensläufe, is something that people need if you want to apply for a job, for example, especially now in our difficult times. So one thing that's important, you need to have a decent CV, which needs to have a certain format, because nowadays almost all companies have first AI scan your CV, and if your CV is not readable by AI, it's just gonna get tossed out. And if it's readable and doesn't have a certain percentage of the things in it that the job needs, then it's also going to get tossed out. And the average time a recruiter looks at your CV is about 7 seconds. So you have to make every second count. So the things, we're going to help you with three segments. The third is like, what did you do? Then the top skills and your professional summary. I'll show you how to do it. So this is just three examples from myself. And I also down here linked like a spreadsheet. Am I running out of time? I'm hurrying. Okay, this is a spreadsheet, basically, and you fill in what you did. So what is the situation? What is your role, task, problem, action, result? And you do that, and I said there's a template you can use. And then these are basically the things you wrote in a sentence, and you tell it, condense every bullet point into one sentence in star format for my CV. So, and then replace it, of course, with your stuff, and then this is what I got, and this is the things you copy and paste into your CV. Then I took all those things and asked it, you now take all best fitting assets and most convincing skills and write a professional management summary with 450 to 550 characters without superfluous wordings, and then, of course, you always put in your information in the gray thing. And here, for example, you see a mistake. AI can't count because this is much too long. This is almost double the size, and you have to cut it down, so to have it four sentences. And then the third part is that you take the job posting, whatever job you want to apply, and you just copy and paste it and tell it, analyze the job posting below and create a list of top 20 keywords an ATS scanner will look for. And then we'll tell you, okay, if you apply for this job, you have to have this on your CV, and then you just put it on top there. And when you have all this information, this is, I know this looks like much, but basically is you tell it the role you want it to have. You want to have the best possible fitting application letter. And then here, read the following job. Here's the job opening where you want to apply. The second, you copy and paste everything you did before. You just copy and paste it in here. You do it one time, and you can use it every time again. And now please write like a letter. Write short sentences, active voice, yada, yada, and then you get something like this out of it. And this is without editing, and you can still edit, but this is basically the letter that AI wrote for me, and you can also have AI write a letter for that for each specific job within a few minutes. So, Art Grant? Okay, yeah, going on through. Okay, Art Grant, so you want to apply for an Art Grant, whatever project you have. I live in Berlin, so I looked at Berlin at the Senatsverwaltung, the official body where you, the official government body where you apply for grants, and I took a download, a PDF, where they have listed all their approved grants and all the details, which is a 74-page document. Yeah? You just find this wherever you live. And then you throw it in, you just upload the PDF, you don't have to do anything, and tell it, act like a world-class project manager with funding experience, help me prepare a checklist for my art grant application, analyze the following thing, and here's those things I told you from the buffet, like be precise, short, and then you get basically here an analysis. Okay, in Berlin, if you want to apply for an art grant, you need those six things. And explains to you exactly what you need to have. So when you think of an art project, these are the things you need to define. And then once you read it, so you have like this blah, blah, blah is basically what your project is about. I don't know what your project is about, but you know it. You write it in there and put this prompt in front of it and also put the PDF you got. And then you tell it benchmark it. So what it does with this prompt basically, it takes your art grant, it compares it to the ones that are approved and tells you, okay, this is good, this is bad, here you can improve, and it gives you suggestions how to make it better and how to improve your chances of getting an art grant. So I'm gonna skip this here. It's like also a prompt how to write better, but this is self-explanatory. I'm going to skip this also. Ethical coach, you can go through it. Okay, one thing that some people heard like is want to have a cannabis shop. So The problem is Germany, you know, has very complicated regulations. So these are the 50 pages of the cannabis legislation. And I wouldn't read this, even though I can read German. So you just tell it, act like an expert and read this for me. And do two things. I want you to have a step-by-step list on how to get a cannabis shop approved and list the most important rules for cannabis consumption, because most people don't know what actually am I allowed to do in Germany. And then you get a list. This is for the cannabis shop. These are the things you need to do. And I know this is very top level, but if you have further questions, then you just ask it, okay, explain more on point 7 or 8. And then it goes into more details. But these are basically the trimmed down information. And this is the checklist for how to open a cannabis store. And these are basically also the rules if you want to smoke cannabis in Germany. Yeah, I'm going to skip this, but there's also the event planner thing there. Yeah, I have an interaction. I have an interaction with ChatGPT, so we're getting two more charts. If you are now a bit overwhelmed, what can I do with it? So just ask yourself, your large language model can read, see, and hear. So it can describe, interpret, recommend, convert, extract, assist, and evaluate. Yeah? So basically, it can analyze and describe any image, video, or context. So you can upload an image of a medical scan. You can upload an image of a website that you designed. For example, you design a website that you can upload it and say, my target group is XYZ. Please judge my layout from the perspective of this target group. And then ChatGPT or other large language models will tell you, okay, if I am this, then I would maybe like this, but I don't like this. So basically, it can be anything, any role that you wanted. Yeah, it can give you feedback, critiques on images, films. You can convert data from almost any format into any format. You can also give a task. You can create strategies. The possibilities are endless, you know. Okay, two more charts. So key learnings from this presentation. My suggestion, try to use and test AI for your regular boring, time-consuming tasks, but also for new and fun experimental ones. This helps you understand where AI is good and where AI has problems, you know, pitfalls, limitations. Then always be the human in the loop, you know, double-check everything all the time, because at the moment you're still smarter at AI and you need to rein it in sometimes. And again, treat it like the world's smartest intern who take drugs and have Alzheimer's. So did I mention double, triple, quadruple, checkity check. And remind yourself daily when you use it that this was the worst AI that you ever worked with, because they're getting better by the day, by the week, by the month. And when you think about doing AI like in an organization, then plan for what is soon going to be possible, because the advancements are very quick. And one thing, as a half Greek and half Austrian and proud European, I think it's also important if there are any decision makers or people with money or whatever to invest into European AI brains and organizations and POVs to safeguard our world, because diversity is good, especially or also in the global marketplace. Yeah, and currently everything is dominated by America and China, and there's not much coming after that. And Germany and Europe are far behind. France is doing quite good, but I believe in healthy competition, steady innovation, distribution of power, and hopefully international peace. So closing my presentation, let's work together to achieve humanity's destiny, to upgrade to a Kardashev civilization. And I thank you for your time. If anybody doesn't know what Kardashev civilization is, it's just a grading of the level of a civilization by Nikola Kardashev, an astrophysicist. And we are currently at the level 0.7, because we haven't even managed to get the resources from our planet. And level 2 would be if we can harness the power of our solar system, which would be our sun with a Dyson sphere. Level 3, if we can harness the power of our whole universe. So thank you for your time. This is a QR code, and I'm open for Q&A if there's time.
Wow, what a ride, Elias. Thank you so much for this overview. And now we have 5 minutes for some questions that you might have.
Go outside.
You can raise your hand if I should come to you, and then can say something.
So when the AI is doing my CV and the company is checking the CV by an AI, where's the human? So where's the sense in all of this?
Yeah, that's a good question. In the end, AI is a huge helper when it comes to efficiency and, you know, see it from a company's perspective. I know companies that posted jobs and then they get 1,500 applications, and it's not humanly possible to check them all, so they have to do that. It's just like a lack of man or woman power or you know, humans to do that. And again, AI is just helping you with first draft, and in the end, you have to take it into account. They always have hallucinations. And you can mitigate them with the things that I showed you, with the prompts, especially in the buffet. But AI is basically just going to improve the quality of your work. It's going to cut down on unnecessary time that you spend. So, yes, I get the point, but this is, I think, something that's inevitable, you know, and it's like fighting fire with fire, and in the end, it's a competition for workplaces, for opportunities, and if you're smart, you use AI. Of course, you shouldn't cheat, yeah? You just make your CV better, because, as I said, 7 seconds is the average time a recruiter looks at your CV. 7 seconds, that's not much. That's much shorter than this talk, for example, was, so.
Okay, second question here.
Hi, so from what I know, ChatGPT only has information up until 2 years ago, so it can't provide me information that happened yesterday or so. Do you know what I mean? So the input it has is not quite up to date?
No, the large language models, the neural networks, they are trained on a regular basis with data. For example, the Common Crawl, which is like a database with 2.9 billion websites that they scraped. And the training, for example, ChatGPT 3.5, the training took 1 month, cost 4 million euros for ChatGPT 4. It already cost, because of the size grew, it cost about 75 to 100 million dollars to train. So the training, and then it has a set brain, and to get new information, you have to retrain it, which does takes weeks and months, yeah? So, currently the state is, I think, GPT 4.0 is maybe 2 months behind. And if you want to, I showed you the perplexity.ai is the link that you find in the thing. It has Copilot and Perplexity, for example. They're large language models that are connected to the internet. So if you ask them something, the AI transfers your question for the search engine. The search engine gets 20 websites. Then the AI looks at the websites and finds the results and then gives you the results. Perplexity and Copilot, for example, they do that.
So that means ChatGPT 4 can provide me information that are just 2 months.
Something about, yeah, roundabout. I mean, it's always retrained, but it's too expensive. And I said, OpenAI has about 15 models, and if you consider that one model training costs about 100 million, you don't train them every day.
Cool. I see one more question here.
Thanks for your talk.
Thank you for listening.
So you speak about like activists, or we use it in everyday. What's the privacy concerns like with the data I give to ChatGPT or other models? Is there differences in the models, or is it a general?
Generally, I would never feed something into an AI system that you wouldn't want to see on a newspaper. So basically, I wouldn't feed any social security, any private data into it. You know, anything. But what you can do, you can actually get. We talked about Gemini. They are currently at the moment, I think, a few hundred. Foundation models, and with the open source community, this they play around and they have like variations. Now we have, I think, about 1 million different kind of large language models. You can also have locally installed ones on your computer, which I also have. And if you do that, for example, I can also later show you how to do that show you a link. Then you have a local thing on your hard drive, and there you can put anything into it, yeah, but never put confidential stuff, bank information, passwords into ChatGPT or any of those, because they say they don't use the data, but it happened more than once that they use data of companies.
Okay, thank you. I don't see. Now I see a further question. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you for listening.
Very interesting. Since you mentioned college of scale, my question is, do you think AI could be a great filter for humanity, and which precautions should we take for it?
Well, AIs, in the end, it's a tool like a car, or a car. You can use a car to drive to the fusion and you drive your granny to the hospital, but you can also use a car to drive somebody over and kill him or her. I believe, look at us. We are facing serious problems and we're constantly bombarded on social media with theater. In the end, in my opinion, global politics is just like a poker game where everybody cheats but has a nice face on television. So in the background, I could go on and for hours, but in the background, it's like the nuclear race. You know, all America, for example, has restrictions on certain ships to go to China, to Arabic countries, and to Russia. So I think the country who first develops a super intelligence or general intelligence, however you want to call it, has a huge advantage over everybody else. And I fear, especially in Europe, because we are not really good at the moment, we are basically sucking on the tits of America. That's basically what we're doing. And that's why we really need to have a European initiative, and people and companies in Europe need to wake up. I believe AI has the potential, of course. There's a small potential to destroy humanity, but I think there's also huge potential to elevate humanity to a Kardashev civilization. And that's actually the thing that I care about, to advance, you know, and not be in a death spiral on social media.
Yeah, and I mean, we're getting to destroying ourselves anyway, so but I see another question.
Yeah, thank you very much. Actually, I have two questions in one. So the first one is our data. We created the data, so human data, and that's the only thing AI can work with. Is that right?
Well, any kind of data, AI can tokenize. So tokenization means it takes text, but also images, and cuts them down, because it needs to cut it down into something mathematical that it can use. Because internal is matrix multiplication. I mean, for the regression models, which are the text thingies, the problem is companies are running out of data 2026 because the large language models are getting exponentially huger. And as said before, like Einstein, the AIs have to read more and learn more to get smarter. And that's a huge concern, yes. So basically, that's why what I told the gentleman before here, I have my own small language model. Even here on my small 24 gigabyte laptop, I have an 8 billion parameter Llama 3 model running. Also, with no sensor, no restrictions, so I can ask it anything. I get no more lectures. And that's a huge issue with the data, and I don't have a definite solution right now, because the companies want it, the companies need it. Yeah.
So, and the second one is, so you said in 7 years, more or less, we will have a ChatGPT God mode, more or less. So, and if we all run out of data, then it stops growing, it stops accelerating,
yes.
And has anyone any idea what happens then?
Well, my belief is, if you look at history, where the money flows, the solutions follow. And there's no point or no industry anywhere in the world where more money is pushed into than AI. For example, last year, many of you might have read, Microsoft gave $10 billion to OpenAI, you know, for the corporation and to build data centers. Then this year, they went to $100 billion and they spent it for Rechenzentren, for computing servers. And if you read the thing, the Leopold Aschenbrenner, he writes that currently in Silicon Valley, they're talking about $1 trillion investment just into data centers, and they also need so much energy that the Americans just put like their nuclear power plants next to them. Yeah, because also one of the problems that we have, especially in Germany, because of the most expensive energy prices, our energy need in the next few years is going to triple. Yeah, and if you consider that we have the highest cost in the world, and we need by 2030 three times as much energy, you know, for compute. So yeah, that's many challenges. But as said, the world is working on it. And again, it's a poker game in international politics where everybody's cheating, you know. And Americans develop so many systems. The Chinese are now. The Americans, for example, had restrictions on export on NVIDIA chips. Then NVIDIA said, okay, we're going to make smaller chips so we can export it to Russia and to China. And then before they launched it, then America said, oh, okay, we're also restricting these those smaller chips, you know. So basically, they tried to prevent everyone to get those computers because compute is power. And yeah, we are in an arms race. And I try to wake you up here and try to get people to hopefully learn about AI, learn about the benefits, but also about the dangers, and use it for your daily life. And I said, the presentation, you can download it for free and read it at home if you want to go through it. And I said, all free links, no logins, nothing. And I'm going to leave it on here. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Elias, for this talk. Everybody can re-watch it also afterwards on content.kulturkosmos.org. So in our small little flyer, you also find the link on the first page. And you can watch it in English and in German. And yeah, thank you so much again for providing this information with which we can easier like criticize or use or whatever we want to do with AI in the future.